This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. I begin with a moral dilemma. I refer you to my Twitter or X feed, Jeffrey. It's GEOFF underscore Calkins, CALKINS, where I have tweeted out a fairly dramatic video. How'd you describe the video, Jeffrey?
Jeff, you have a cockroach that is a pretty large-sized cockroach that is flipped up on its back, basically like looking like it's scrambling, trying to
helpless little yes. helpless fellow, right? He's helpless. His little legs are waving.
Yeah,
desperately trying to right himself.
Like
now, this was
flailing. Maybe is
that flailing, the word? Flailing. This was between the where I parked the minivan.
Yep,
and the six steps that I take to walk into here at Odyssey, the 92.9 studios. So presented with this cockroach, is the right move, and I'd like you to predict. Now, obviously, I videoed it, right?
Correct.
Because there it is. But is the right move to show some love for my fellow beast and help flip the little guy upright so we can go on his merry way? Or B, walk past and let him figure it out on his own, him or her? Or three, step on it? What would you have done? Did you see the cockroach on the way in?
No, I did not.
No.
I was alerted to this by your post on X.com, the everything app. It's all happening on X.
Of course.
I think it depends what you have on your hands, what you have in your hands.
Nothing. My hands, well, I carried my legal pads.
Well, I'd say if you had your legal pad, maybe I might flip it over.
You would consider flipping it over to help the little guy?
If I had my legal pad, I would consider it, but I think the overwhelming most likely scenario is I would just probably have walked past. I would not have squished it. I'll tell you that.
You would not have squished it because you're worried about your sneaker, your shoe?
No, it's just
like cruelty.
Yeah.
What if it had been in your home?
Well, then I have to deal with my
wife.
What
if it had been in our studio? It had been inside the door rather than out the door.
I probably would have gone and gotten like a paper towel and probably,
squished it.
Yeah.
Certainly in my home, I would have squished it.
Yeah.
I would have stepped on it, although that would have it's big enough that it would have definitely crunched
this is
on
not
the
a,
shoe.
This is not a little cockroach.
And honestly, the video does not do it justice.
The video makes it look pretty big.
It's a big cockroach. It would definitely, you could feel the crunch under your shoe if you crunched on it. In my home, I just let it flail. I certainly didn't kill it. I didn't see the need to do that. I videotaped it, but maybe that's a metaphor for life. All we do now is videotape things and move on and don't get emotionally involved. Maybe this is an indictment. Maybe it's a metaphor
our first instinct is to get our phones out.
Just get our phones out.
Yeah.
But not to get involved, right? I can't believe these people just videotape those people in distress instead of helping.
Yeah. No, our first instinct is to document it.
But it's a cockroach, not a human.
Yeah, I do have, like, I get it. Like you said, we're all God's creatures. And, you know, like, there's always that thought of if you get rid of something in the ecosystem, like the whole butterfly effect. Ooh, what are cockroaches bringing to the table?
I don't. Flies, I feel the same way. Like, I don't. The old wouldn't hurt a fly. No, I definitely. In my house, I would absolutely.
If they're in the house, yeah.
You got to go after them. All right. Anyway, you can examine your own conscience however you wish. Today on the radio show, we got Jason Smith, and next time we'll be at Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He's got his. Review of what's happening in the cinema, Jeffrey, in Memphis this weekend. And there's another, you probably know this, there's another superhero film.
Oh, yeah, Fantastic Four.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm not clearing my plans this weekend.
You're not clearing your plans this weekend? Because it's the Fantastic Four, or because this particular film doesn't seem particularly alluring to you?
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I need a break from Marvel. I've just had a Marvel overload.
Okay. Are you clearing your plans for the Glorilla show tonight at FedEx Forum?
So I've got a buddy coming in town. I know you find this hard to believe. We're not going to Glorilla. Not that we're not proud and of all the amazing work that she's done.
How do you feel about, like, it's a hell of a thing. Let's be honest. It's a hell of a thing when your house is burglarized.
Yeah.
You're not home.
Yep.
Your house is burglarized. And they find a substantial amount of marijuana in your bedroom closet, I think is what it was. And you then have a felony arrest for weed. Do your sympathies, I have to say my sympathies lie with Glorilla on this one, 100%. Now, if it were fentanyl or something, then not necessarily. Like but weed in her bedroom?
Yeah,
come on, man. Seriously? She wasn't home? She was the victim here? Come on.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I'm also kind of a what you do in your own home is kind of your business.
Yeah, I mean, there's
I get it. There are limits. But
if it suggests you're distributing fentanyl or something, that would be different,
yes.
Right? Or if it's child porn or something like that, there are limits to what you do in your home.
Right.
But if you want to smoke weed in your home, smoke weed in your home.
Yeah, and like to your point, the only reason it was discovered was
because she was burglarized.
Right.
Craziness, absolute craziness. Anyway, I was saying.
Plus, I never know, like, what state is it legal? What state's it not? Like,
thing. I mean, well, and plus the truth of the matter is, how often do you smell weed in your life now? Just going through the world, a lot, right?
Oh yeah,
just a lot.
An alarming amount of time on the roads.
Yeah,
too.
A lot of on the. Yeah, so come on, man. Seriously. Anyway, that's tonight. We got Jason Smith, and we have Chris Harrington. And then, other than that, it is us. We did have, apart from Hulk Hogan and Ozzy Osbourne, we had another death, Chuck Mangione.
Yeah.
Now, I, of course. Do you think I've ever seen King of the Hill?
Probably not.
Never. No,
yeah.
Never.
You're not a big, like, adult animation guy.
No. Although I feel like I should have been. I feel like I would enjoy South Park. You know? I feel like maybe I missed something. But
some people do struggle. Like, even though, like, I'm obviously a massive South Park fan, some people do struggle. Like, it's very crudely animated. And so some people really struggle. Like, even if the humor would.
That.
Yeah.
But anyway, Chuck Mangione was a trumpeter, flugelhorn player, and he's actually from Western New York, so we sort of claimed him. He's from Rochester, not Buffalo, but they're 45 minutes apart, and had some hits in the 70s, easy listening hits in the 70s, and I didn't realize it had been turned into a bit. Feel So Good is the Chuck Mangione song that became the hit, truly a top 10, top 40 hit,
yep.
Even though it's an instrumental in the 70s. And I gather there's this bit where he's a spokesperson for Megalomart, and anything he plays turns into then Feel So Good, the big hit. So he's sort of making fun of his own hit.
Sure. And also figuring out a way to repurpose it, maybe get a little more cash.
A little more cash in his dotage. But he seemed to have led a full and interesting life. We'll talk more about Hulk Hogan in a moment. But I thought I'd start with this mystery, scandal, whatever you want to call it. How would you describe it, Jeffrey, involving UTSA and Memphis football?
I don't necessarily know if I'd consider it a mystery anymore.
It's not really a mystery.
Yeah, it seems
it's not
like
really a mystery.
Sam Shoemaker did a great job.
Yeah, hat tip to Sam Shoemaker, who's a student at the University of Memphis. And by the way, what a great name.
Yeah.
Seems like
Absolutely.
Sam Shoemaker could be a detective in a
Absolutely.
You know Pulp Fiction kind of thing. It's Sam or hard-bitten journalist Sam Shoemaker. It's a great name.
Absolutely.
His parents did a wonderful job of naming him.
Strong.
Strong. Really strong. Yeah. And as a student journalist.
Also, good that he's going with Sam. I don't know if Samuel Shoemaker does quite the same.
No, Samuel Shoemaker, hoity-toity.
Yeah.
Samuel hoity-toity. Sam Shoemaker.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Sam Shoemaker on the phone. You're going to be in fear. If Sam Shoemaker's on your trail, you're going to be in fear and trembling.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
No. Don't answer the phone.
It's like when Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes used to show up. No way. I don't want any part of that.
Don't take that call.
Fearsome Sam. When Sam Shoemaker is after you.
It's bad.
That's bad news, man.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he, as a student journalist at the University of Memphis, he has uncovered what seems to be treachery, clear treachery. Taj Riel, former defensive back for the University of Memphis, who subsequently transferred to Purdue, evidently shared with the UTSA quarterback, Owen McCown, the defensive playbook, essentially.
The game plan. And offered signals.
Uh-huh.
The thing that is there a connection between the two, or did he just like straight up just like DM it?
Well, we wondered about that. I was talking to Gabe about this very thing, because if he was friends, like if I was, it appears we know that Taj Riel left the team in October, and it appears, you know, if you're just connecting the dots, probably was dismissed from the team, right?
Oh yeah.
So if I was dismissed from Odyssey 92.9 for example, an unwillingness to use the company email, just hypothetically,
okay,
right? So if I was run out of here because I don't want to add yet another email to my email obligations, and so I was dismissed, and I was angry about it, and I wanted to tell company secrets to at another sports talk station, well, know what I'd do? I'd text Greg Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
I'd text him. I wouldn't hit him up on Instagram or any others. I'd text him because I have his number in my phone. And that way it's just me and Greg, and I'd be telling him, hey, here's some of the secrets we have over here. And so I assume if there were a connection between Taj Riel and on McCown, they'd text each other, right? And instead he hit him up on Instagram.
I think you're right. I'm also leaving room for a younger generation that I just don't.
They just absolutely don't understand.
Correct.
That's very possible.
But my instinct would be, yeah, I agree
no,
with you.
I leave room for the fact that I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Correct.
We also, by the way, on McCown's name was Sam, the fearsome Sam Shoemaker. He got a screenshot of the actual messages. And McCown's name is on there. Taj Riel's is not.
Yeah.
He informs us that it's Taj Riel, and it's Sam Shoemaker. Who am I to doubt him, right?
Absolutely.
So, but we don't know, his name isn't actually in the screenshot. But so this happened in advance of the UTSA game, which Memphis lost 44-36, and which played a pivotal role in this season.
No, it was the game that, I mean, listen, if they win that game,
they're
in the conference
championship game.
Yeah. Now, I also think the way a season plays out, like that Tulane game might have been a little different.
There's no question.
There's pressure.
Would they still have beaten Tulane? Who knows?
Yeah.
I think we can agree that this is a pure treachery.
Bar.
It is pure treachery, right? Like, this is a miserable thing.
This is one of those stories I do not understand. Like, we've all been on a team, and someone else, a coach decides someone else is going to play in front of you. That's fine. I've never once like thought like, how can I screw over my teammates?
If you wanted to screw over the coach, I understand that.
Yeah, that one's, but to me, like.
But you can't do this without screwing over your former teammates.
Well, at the time, it's still your teammates.
Well, it's unclear. It seems like he was dismissed from the team by then.
Yeah.
He was dismissed from the team in October. But even then, those are guys you were in the locker room with, that you were, you know, presumably, you know, went through two-a-days with, had relationships with. Now, mind you, they're fleeting because of the nature of NIL and the portal and everything else. But it seems to have been your former teammates at the time that he sent them these stuff. But even then, I don't think you sell out your teammates. It is it is pure treachery. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yes.
I think we can also agree that Ryan Silverfield, that both coaches, honestly, will be asked about this today at Media Days, right?
Unless that Mary Kay convention really takes over the hotel. So Gabe was showing me the picture. I would say, 5-1 more people at the Mary Kay convention?
There's going to be more people at the truth of the matter is the American Media Days have never been particularly well attended.
No.
They're just not. Honestly, because the truth of the matter is, and this is one of the sad things about this conference, is like when we used to cover, the Daily Memphian has two people, has Tim and Frank both at the media days. But a lot of times media has an interest in this conference. To the extent that local media cares at all about these football teams, they care about their own.
Yeah.
They don't. Whereas if you go to the SEC media days and you're covering Ole Miss, you know that there's also broad interest in Alabama and in Texas and in Tennessee. And
particularly the teams they're going to play that year.
You're writing about the opponents. Yep. You're writing about, there's broad interest in the league. If we went right now, Or whatever. If someone from pick a school who covers Rice, they go. There's no interest in Rice and what's happening at the University of Memphis.
Right.
None. Zero. And so, it's a lot easier just to.
And I'll tell you this though. Even from the local angle, that's now holding true with the SEC. Like most of my friends that are still beat writers, if they go at all,
right,
they go to cover.
Their own team. And if you're going to cover your own team, a lot of times it's easier just to get your team at home.
Well, and on top of that,
the coach is here. We got the coach here. We got all the players here, not just the two hand-selected players here. We'll just stay here and do it. So it doesn't surprise me that there's much, many, many more Mary Kay.
Gabe DeArmon covers Mizzou for 24/7. He said Drinkwitz did before they went to Atlanta.
Did a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
so whatever. But anyway, they will be asked about this. And if you are the UTSA coach, this is easy. You just say, yeah, I wasn't aware that even happened.
Yep.
You know, totally unaware of it. Didn't have anything to do with our game plan. Whatever. I suppose that could have happened, but it wasn't a part of how we prepared for Memphis. Had nothing to do with the game plan. And we don't condone that kind of activity. And honestly, we can't control if someone's sending stuff to us.
Right? Yep.
We didn't solicit it. Whatever.
I was unaware.
Yeah. If you're Memphis, what do you say?
I don't know. So we do have a little bit of precedence for this because I was trying to think, what should the nickname be? Because once upon a time, there was a thing called WikiLeaks, everybody. Wakey in that was a playoff.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So we had, I believe it was the Wake Forest radio color analyst was leaking the playbook, I believe, incredible. To Louisville.
I totally forgot.
So we have a little bit of press. Now, I think it's even more when you, these are guys like your teammates.
They're teammates. It's worse than the radio guy.
Yes.
Doing it. Bad of radio guy too. Horrible.
Again, not condoning the radio action.
So what does Ryan say? Here's the problem. With Ryan.
Yeah, that's the problem.
With Ryan, you got to be above it. And you got to say, listen, but
Ryan gets defensive.
You do kind of, let's be honest, the big knock against Ryan is He's never been to a conference title game and never won the conference title. And had they won that game, they would have been, presumably, in the conference title. So it is a handy excuse for him. So if you're Ryan, you may not want to 100% bat it out of the air.
Okay, but here's the other problem, though. If you acknowledge it, it does lead to a bunch of other questions. Like, well, was he on the team still? Like, what did he get suspended? What was he dismissed from the team for? Like, and then those are the questions that, well, Brian will be like, I'm not getting into that.
I won't be surprised if he'll say he was no longer on the team. I think he'll say, listen, he was no longer on the team. We change our signals. You know, it's not, we're moving on. We're looking for the future.
Why was he no longer on the team?
I don't, whatever, personal matter. He didn't comport with our standards. You're not going to get into they would absolutely not say he failed a drug test or whatever it was. They're not going to say that. But they could say, you know, that's, you know, we people come and go from the team all the time. We dismissed him from the team. He wasn't living up to our standards at the University of Memphis, our very high standards we set at the University of Memphis. And so he had left the team. But I don't think you have to say why. But my only question is, do you want to, if you're Ryan, at least acknowledge it enough that you do, like Reggie Howard, by the way, defensive back coach, apropos of whatever, tweeted last night, how about this? Ain't nothing worse than a snake.
No, and then also we had some more good internet reporters out there. So he transferred to Purdue.
Transferred to Purdue, and he's no longer. Barry Odom is now the head coach at Purdue.
Correct,
he's no longer evidently on the Purdue roster. We don't know
if that's related.
If it's related unrelated. Or it could be related to why he was dismissed from Memphis in the first place. So if you're Ryan, I think there would be some temptation to, even as you are
what's the right way to acknowledge it that makes it, like, that's what I'm struggling with is, like,
I think you could say, listen, we obviously don't know.
What about, like, I've seen the report, something to look at.
That works.
Does that work?
I've seen the report. That would be unfortunate if he did, you know, we went in there.
What a tremendous disservice to his
teammates. If that's true, if that is what happened, he did a disservice to him. It's not what we stand for. And obviously that, could you say anything like, obviously that game defensively did not go well for us and that had a huge impact on our season. All I can say is obviously that game, you know, obviously did not go well for us defensively and it did turn out to be a little bit of a turning point for our season. Could you say that?
That might be a decent
excuse a little bit. Those things are true.
I mean, listen, the other games that UTSA cracked 40 points are against, like, let's see,
it's funny though. I looked at this. That's the other thing. Did it have, so if you look at McCown's passing yardage,
yep.
Okay? Two games before Memphis, he threw for 340 yards against FAU. The game before Memphis, he threw for 434 yards against Tulsa. Then he threw for 280 against Memphis. And then he threw for 379 against North Texas. So he went for 340, 434, and 379 in the games surrounding Memphis, and he threw for 280 against Memphis.
Okay, so a couple of things that I would note. Number one, some of those teams we've mentioned were god-awful defensively. And while Memphis is not exactly the 85 Bears, they were one of the better defenses in the league. What I took a look at was points per drive, and it was their second most points per drive in a game if you throw out their Houston Christian game, which was the FCS game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
In terms of the Memphis defense, Memphis on the season gave up a completion percentage of 60.2%. Against UTSA, it was 55.3%. If you look at Memphis's defensive performance through the air, there were five games where they gave up 300 or more passing yards, and four of those games, this was only the fifth. They gave up more passing yards to North Texas, 445. They gave up more passing yards to UAB, 324. This was, in fact,
there were more plays.
Of the Memphis season, this was only the fifth most passing yards that they gave up.
There were more plays, though, in the North Texas, and they run it a different.
That's fine, but it's the fifth most.
North Texas
was crazy. That game was
that game was nuts.
That game was nuts. They play at an incredible tempo. But my point is that this was not wildly. It was not wildly out of step. It may have been on the higher end from both the Memphis defense giving up more stuff and UTSA registering more stuff, but it wasn't wildly out of step with their performances on the year at all.
It was, though, the only game that no sacks from their offensive line, which, again, I know Memphis was not a heavy.
I mean, I didn't look up Memphis pass rush.
So, but I did like this quote because I did some digging too. I went back to the post game quotes that they send out for media. Jeff Taylor, it was one of those days. Kids just kept making plays. It was really unbelievable. It was a tale of two halves. In the first half, our offense, they were executing, the way they were executing was as good as I've ever seen us, with literally game day adjustments.
Okay, how
so
about
if
this,
you had
though?
The signals,
how about
like,
this? You're supposed to be prepared for this.
When we did the whole sign stealing thing. I have no time for people that just refuse to change their signals. Like, I said this. We were a high school football team. Our offensive coordinator went and took the Baylor job. When we played Baylor the next year, we changed our signs.
Right.
Like,
but can you – the players come and go so much now in the age of the portal, you can't change your game plan or your every time a player leaves with the idea that maybe this player is going to be disgruntled, they're going to be –
Definitely think it's a lot different if you know that somebody's on the other team that has some type of connection. And this does not appear like, what would the connection be?
Is there anything that can be done to Taj Riel?
I mean, it seems like it already is. Sounds like he's not.
We don't know that though. He's not on the Purdue, but it could very well be Glorilla was found.
He didn't do anything.
I mean, he was kicked off Memphis, it feels like, before this.
He didn't do anything, quote-unquote, illegal. Like, all you can really do is just kind of, like, ostracize him. Like,
right, and would another coach? But Barry Odom might, because he's got connections to Memphis and whatever else. You also do wonder, once a snake, always a snake. You know what I mean? If you have that, if a guy will do that to his teammates, do you want him in your locker room?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's really like the only punishment is really like, okay, well, he's not gonna play.
While we're on the topic of college sports, we have a lot more to talk about, obviously. The president issued an executive order yesterday that had to do with this NIL portal, all this stuff. And in it, among the things that, the executive order establishes or attempts to, that there can be no third-party pay-for-play payments. There can be payments so long as they are fair market value. Okay, and also says that establishes a committee to try to set up rules to enforce this, and also to make sure that players aren't deemed to be employees. Right, that's sort of the essence of it. And what's happening here is there's a bill that is going through Congress that would establish an antitrust exemption as all the conferences, the big conferences want. But it doesn't appear. It appears that may well pass the House. Doesn't appear like it's going to pass the Senate, right?
That's my understanding as well.
Yeah. So
everyone I know that covers this thinks that the Senate's a real problem.
Yeah. So this is an attempt to do for Trump to do this without having to actually pass a law. And the problem is that an executive order does not have the force of law.
Correct. It can be challenged very easily.
And it sort of avoids the fundamental question. Because, all right, fine. No third party pay for play payments. Well, all right. If Memphis Pizza Cafe wants to pay $3 million for a quarterback to represent them at the University of Memphis, or the Memphis 901 Fund or whatever the hell it is, wants to pay a quarterback $3 million so they can for them to endorse the importance of the 901 Fund.
It's right? It's really, let's focus on the
collective. Yeah, like, the collective. That's the way to do it. The collective wants to do it. Is this going to stop that?
No, because
not going to.
Earlier this week, like whatever, the CSC, the College Sports Commission or whatever, which is I think now effectively the new NCAA, like that was...
They just backed down and said, we're going to let collectives
correct.
Do what they do. So this is... It feels to me like it is largely symbolic. All the conferences applauded it. And the attorneys for the players said, we didn't need the president weighing in here. Thanks very much. But we don't need the president limiting the rights of athletes. It doesn't really feel like it's going to have any impact on anything.
No, because the other reporting that I saw was that the NCAA is still pursuing the actual law, like the bill.
Oh, they absolutely
right.
want
so
the
they
bill.
They don't. That
they
tells
100%,
you,
yeah, that they know they need.
Correct.
If they could get legislation that establishes an real antitrust exemption, that would be much more meaningful. Now, the one thing here that is makes it a little bit sticky and makes you think, okay, well, this could have some teeth to it, is Trump has said that one way that he can enforce this is that federal funding for universities
sure.
will be attached and will be conditioned on people going along with this. And if you followed what's happening with Trump and universities generally, they cut off federal funds, millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding to universities for no reason whatsoever, whatever reason they make up, like whatever. And because they're mad. And so if they can do that to like they have for Columbia and Harvard and other universities where they've cut off funding, if they find that a university, it would probably be in a state. The problem is it would have to be in a state. It'd have to be in a blue state for them to do this. What's a blue state with a really good football team? Not as many of those, right?
Yeah, the first thought that came to mind, and I know it's not blue, but it's kind of getting more purpley, was like, would he make an example of like Georgia?
I wondered if it was Michigan. Michigan's
yeah.
kind of in the ways in the balance, though. But anyway, so he could say, listen, you're paying your players with this $5 million offer for a quarterback, and so we are going to cut off federal funding to your university. that they very clearly have shown a willingness to do. And so that would be a way that an otherwise toothless
executive order
could become very fearsome.
The other complication, though, that I, and maybe I'm incorrect in this, I thought a lot of the vindictiveness going after the schools was after a Supreme Court ruling that was like in his favor. Wasn't there a Supreme Court ruling that was?
I don't think so. Mostly it was under the guise that these places have been anti-Semitic.
I thought there was also one about practices, about, you know, whatever, diversity practices. I thought there was some type of Supreme Court ruling, and then that was like the green light.
I'm not familiar with it, but it's possible. I do think, I mean, most people, have said the part of this that could be where there could have teeth is because they're threatening federal funding. But anyway, it's another, yet another chapter in all of this. We do have media days generally. Yesterday, we had a poll, Jeff Calkins Show poll, about whether you feel better about the football program at Memphis or the basketball program in Memphis. And a lot of people said, I think sensibly, they feel pretty good about both.
Yeah.
But in the end, the football program carried the day.
62.9% to 37.1%.
And I think a lot of that is because it feels like it's pretty smoothly run, right? Not a lot of drama.
Yesterday, notwithstanding, like, yes.
And this was just, they're victimized by this.
Yeah.
This wasn't... So we will see, but we're not going to have predictions, right?
We're not going to have a preseason poll.
All right. We're going to come back and we will talk to Jason Smith on the other side. And then Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. There's so much here that I haven't. It is funny because normally July is quiet. This has been anything
not this
but.
Week.
This has been anything but. Yeah. Including interesting comments from Aaron Rodgers, which I think are interesting on Jason and John. Interesting comments from Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah.
So we'll get to all of that when we continue. Before then, I will tell you that if you are looking for a place to go this weekend, Ragin' Cajun in Bartlett, it's just tremendous. Honestly, it's a great neighborhood restaurant with spectacular Cajun food. Mason Jambon is from Louisiana. He started it. And he said, you know what? He had been involved in Bounty on Broad, which is a great restaurant. And this is honestly, it's a lower price point. You know, you can get out of there without spending an arm or leg because you're getting a po' boy. You're getting crawfish queso. You're getting bread pudding, maybe a drink or two. You're sitting out on the patio. You're having a high old time. At what feels like a neighborhood place. There's plenty of parking. Again, the patio's great. I really can't recommend it more highly. This weekend, if you're looking for a new place to go try, get a bite to eat, try Ragin' Cajun. It's in Bartlett. Ragin' Cajun. Tell them I sent you. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Semi-annual sale is ongoing at O'Call. And here's the thing. It's a spring and summer semi-annual sale. People wait all year for this. And right now, savings up to 70%. Savings up to 70%. And by the way, they have they brought in additional merchandise. So this would be the perfect weekend to get in to take advantage of the semi-annual sale. Tailored clothes, sports shirts, all sorts of the fabulous, unbelievably spectacular clothing at O'Call. The same fabulous people, only up to 70% off. That's right. Perfect weekend to get in and take advantage of the semi-annual sale at O'Call. Joined now by Jason Smith, Jason and John, every single day from 11 till 2. And you'll want to listen to them because they got newsmakers. Yesterday, the newsmaker was Paul Feinbaum, who blasted the Big 12 on these very airwaves for rejecting Memphis. Now, it's interesting because obviously Paul is originally from Memphis, Jason. But were you surprised? Well, two parts about it. One, surprised that he came out quite as emphatically that this was a stupid move by the Big 12. But secondly, that he laid the fault for it right at the feet of your Mark, the commissioner.
More the second part, more the latter. Not surprised that he would say, you know, Big 12's being short-sighted here. But I said that with Jeffrey yesterday, the fact that he kind of laid it all at the feet of the commish. You just wonder where he was in this. And it'd be nice to know whether, you know, that comes eventually from the Memphis side. Maybe not. They've shown what they, you know, they're operating a lot like it feels like Jeff the Grizzlies right now, where they're kind of, you know, they're not doing much talking in terms of their, you know, their approach in this and what they'll do next. Because that's the question we want to all ask them is, well, you know, what do you do with his money? Is there a chance you can go to the ACC? Because Ed's talked about it. You know, it was about getting into the Power Four, and he pointed to the Big 12 and the ACC. So there's an obvious question, but they're not talking. You get what you we can understand that, but it'd be nice, whether through leak or whatever else, to know is what your Mark knew. You know, whether he's the one that shut this down. You know, like sort of Paul Feinbaum surprised me, and I think surprised John, sort of laying it at his feet the way you put it. We did too, you know, or whether he was, you know, maybe as I said with Jeffrey yesterday, and Jeffrey was right. I mean, I talked about misleading, but being misinformed himself in terms of with Memphis. You know, did you think after, you know, Hargrave does all that work meeting with administrators that, hey, look at all this money Memphis is bringing in. This is great for our conference. As open-minded as your Mark has been, particularly on the basketball side, right? He's considered UConn, Gonzaga, but he's talking about, and they shut that down. That was all shut down. But he's talked more open-mindedly about schools like Memphis and adding them. We know he came here. It just had made all the sense in the world to me that you would have maybe thought, okay, Brett, your Mark, who clearly, you know, Paul Feinbaum doesn't think much of, and maybe many of those Big 12 presidents and ADs don't either. And, you know, maybe are telling him one thing about how they feel, but when it comes to, you know, how they really feel, no, there's talks behind his back. And so, you know, I had sort of envisioned, and maybe I'm completely a fool and out on an island and got this, and envisioned a scenario where your Mark is saying, come on, Memphis, this is the best, this is a great offer. Let's go get this vote. I've talked to a couple of presidents. Seems like there's some, you know, make the offer. Seems like there's some momentum. Because you and me both know Bill Hargrave's a smart man. I mean, Ed Scott's a smart man. You telling me Memphis was this misled again? You know, you looked in the face of those presidents you had no idea. I just got to think there was somebody spurning them on.
And who would that have been spurring them on to make the offer, Jeff? Somewhere that you and I are both at. You don't make that offer unless you feel like there's some real momentum for you. And who is sort of shepherding that on?
I mean, Jeffrey was in the view.
I've just always envisioned it as your mark.
Yeah, Jeffrey was in the view that this was that your mark would have been wildly in favor of this. And I tend to
I tend
to come down on the side of
me too. Right.
I don't think commissioners have the power to kill this. Honestly, in the end, they're a little bit like the NFL commissioner. They act at the behest of the presidents and even more the TV stations.
They're a lot like agents.
And so, yeah, I don't think if the presidents wanted this or TV wanted this, I don't think your mark has the power to kill it. I just don't think
100%. So 100%. 100%.
But that was interesting.
So it was interesting for Feinbaum to put it that way. What didn't surprise me is him saying, and he said it for a long time, that Memphis is good enough, that it's good enough to be in the power structure. And frankly, he said the next move should be turning to the ACC and saying, hey, well, SMU bought their way in. You know, how about us? So make it 18 of us. But of course, we know, you know, everybody's waiting to see whether this thing, you know, we got the North Carolina news and, you know, maybe ACC and exit fees dropping down to $75 million in 2030 and Florida State then. And, you know, so maybe everybody's waiting, including the Big 12, to see what can we get from that, right? When folks go jumping for the SEC, what the Big 12 can be saying, what from that fallout, what can we pull that we find more valuable than Memphis? Because clearly those presidents, like they say, like we said, didn't even take a look at your application. They don't think you've changed whatsoever.
You are a proud graduate of the University of Memphis and a journalist trained at the University of Memphis. You got to feel pretty good about Sam Shoemaker breaking this story about another young journalist breaking this story about Taj Riel, the former Memphis defensive back who is sharing team secrets with UTSA. So first, let's just it's kind of fun, isn't it, to think of Sam Shoemaker making his way in the world with a splash like this?
I do, because most of the time, let's be real, you just see the go-along, the get-along reporting that comes off the PR sheets that are coming from the schools. So when somebody's out there doing their own reporting and they're getting it out there in the face of, well, this is nothing, which you're always going to get, at least initially from the schools. And of course, I've not done any of the reporting on this, but it certainly looks like you've got a reporter who's done a great job of putting together the facts here and continuing, right, to sort of put the story together and give it to the people. You don't see that happening much these days in a world where you're seeing less and less of this. So yes, kudos to the reporter. And then we'll see, because I'm sure yourself and like many others, I'm curious to see how these coaches are going to respond to this when they step to that podium today, because you know they're going to be asked about it. As much as some folks seemingly have tried to downplay this, it seems it was an incredibly important, ended up being, as you guys have pointed out, an incredibly important loss for Memphis. You win that game like you were supposed to have on a week where, you know, Traylor's saying they got more than everybody, and you welcome them in play and got money. You lose that game, what a close one, where if you could have gotten a couple stops, you scored enough points in that game to win. We're saying maybe the quarterback had an edge that helped him, and no, I'm not saying it won the game for them, but and you guys point to some important things. You know, McCown, whatever his name is, had bigger games against other defenses, but no, I think it's really interesting. I'm
does
more curious to see how Ryan will respond.
You make it pretty clear that your view, Ryan, should have certainly gotten to a conference championship game by now, if not having won one.
Should be all of our view. Yeah.
Does this absolve him? Yeah, maybe I would have had my
absolve. It's hard to say, but look, the facts are that Ryan Turfield probably hasn't made a conference title game more because he's had a defense that's on average ranked 80th in SP Plus in the 5 years. It's offset an offense that last 2 years under Tim Kramsey and with a guy, oh, by the way, a guy who may be in the NFL and Seth Hennigan, you know, was top 12. They were number 10 and number 12. You wasted an offense. And by the way, over the 5 years, it's averaged out at 33. I mean, that's a top offense in the country that you've wasted, essentially. And I know we've talked mostly about Seth and the 4 years and how last year, number one, when he's finally, you know, he's come back, it didn't happen. But that offense has been good. Ryan Silverfield has been great at coaching offense. Where he has struggled I mean, the year before they were 111. They jump up to 80 last year. It wasn't good enough. And in a game that you couldn't get stops, you know, maybe the quarterback had an edge. So, I find it, you know, incredibly fascinating, again, to see where this goes. Maybe he just swats it away and we stop talking about it, or maybe we get more texts. But it's clear. I mean, he went down to this kid. This guy's injured. He slowed up. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be. But he also had the signals. He had the whole list. This guy's giving out sheets. It's like, how could this not be an advantage? Even the quarterback's like, man, when they let you go, I got you. You know, I'm paraphrasing, right. But that seemed like the way he put it. This is pretty good stuff. I mean, but back to your question, does it absolve him? No, because defense has always been his issue over the 5 years. He has not gotten that licked yet. Last year, an improvement to 80th. 80th is not good enough with the investment level in this program. And so, no, in the end, it goes back to, man, just fix this defense. And hopefully, again, I'm where John is. You should be in the championship game again this year, despite the fact that you're resetting. That's just where we think Memphis should be at this time with expectation. I think Paul Feinbaum and Justin Fuente came on earlier. They agree. Those are sort of what the expectation should be on a year-to-year basis for Memphis.
I like the way Justin, again, on your show, pointed it. He said, yeah, it's fair to hold them to the should-be-winning conference title standards. That doesn't mean you fire everybody if they win 8 games. You know, like I think
he's absolutely right. Yeah, you know, it's harder to do so, obviously, too, when you've got a clause in there that says every time you hit 9 wins, you add on a year, right? And then you get a $100,000 raise or whatever else it is. That said, what has to be the case is what he agreed to is you've got to hold it to a standard where, again, 6 wins, 7 wins, no. Sure, you're not going nuts if it's 8 or 9, but what you're saying is this is not the standard. And how many years do you give a guy that's not meeting that, right? When it frankly should have hit by now with, again, your level of investment. You should be Tulane and Boise State and getting the benefit of the doubt and being picked 1 or 2 in your conference every year. That's just where we are now. We've got to sort of get caught up with the local expectations.
So, last thing, what are we supposed to do with the memory of Hulk Hogan? Obviously, this happened. We got the news at the very end of my show yesterday. He dies of what is evidently a cardiac event. Unquestionably, an iconic figure in the world of wrestling, helped change and redefine the world of wrestling. Sort of made the way. Was the predecessor for The Rock and for John Cena and all of that. And yet was very clearly a racist. And you're just making it up when we say that. He literally said himself on the record. Weirdly enough, he died on the 10th anniversary of when National Enquirer published his racist tirade, where he used the N-word multiple times and said, I am a racist. I mean, there was another phone conversation with his son prison. His son was in jail at the time, where he and his son reflected on how horrible it would be to come back if they were reincarnated as two black men. And this is not, he was 61 at the time. This is not, you know, a young man making, he was 61. So what are we supposed to do with the fact that Hulk Hogan is, on the one hand, an iconic figure in American culture, and the other hand, very clearly a racist?
Some of you can spit on his grave and say he was a racist. Good riddance. You have that right. It's America. Some of us can say, you know what? Yeah, it's pretty ugly. That's frankly, it exposes him for a side that maybe he was hiding for years. And you know, that hiding of it, that veil, I don't like. I dismiss him. I rebuke him. Go to hell. Right. You have that right. Others can say, well, there was some positive in it. Right. He did for a while. There was one of the most recognizable, whether it was with Mr. T or whatever else, you know, guys in America. He was telling little Hulkamaniacs, black and white, eat your, you know, take your vitamins, all that, had us kind of all pointing in one direction. That was some of the positive. I think you have to weigh part. You have to weigh all of that. Yeah. That's the point. John and I did it yesterday. You're not being honest with yourself if you're not weighing those things. If everything is positive about the man, that, oh, he was just this face of wrestling, that, oh, he didn't have this darker side, clearly, that was exposed. You have to talk about the man. and how that affects the legacy. For me, it's probably, yes, less of a celebration. This dude, like I said, at one point, he's as recognizable to me and to Americans and young Americans, I think, as Muhammad Ali. Wasn't Muhammad Ali like the referee in that match or whatever else? I mean, Muhammad Ali was there. Mr. T was there. It was America. He was as America as it gets. And we were growing up with that. And the good part about it was that it was sort of, there was no black and white in it. Now, was he out to stamp out racism? No, but there was good in it. And so, again, it's tough because if I said any, there's a few people listening to this, or maybe a lot that are listening to this, saying me saying anything good about the man. Oh, you Uncle Tom. We know he's a racist. Forget that dude, and that's their right to do so. But all I'm saying is that it's complex. And for me, yeah, it's probably less of a celebration because what we found out about dude. But like I've told people, you know, my grandfather was a racist in the sense that he disowned my mom. She never liked me using that word, but he did in the sense that he didn't want anything to do with her marriage to a black man, or more importantly, the two mixed kids she was going to have. And he lived by that. Now, and for the most part, I've said good riddance. As I've gotten older, I've been more interested because, again, this is a part of me that I don't know. And I've gotten more interested in the man, understanding how America is. He was racist as it gets. And again, most of me has said good riddance. Most of me has said, man, that dude can go to hell. It's part of me. I've said that about my own grandfather. But there's also part of me that wants to, well, what he raised. Three great girls who were a part of raising me. So it's hard, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, again, you're not being honest if you're not saying it's a complex I'm walking up and down stairs, so I'm losing my breath. But, yeah, it's a complex conversation. And, yeah, that's the gist of it.
Yeah. Jason, thanks so much. Really appreciate you joining us every Friday.
Appreciate it, man.
Jason Smith. And I think that's right. Like some people will can't believe that he's dead, that I'm so rude as to bring this part of it up. Other people can't believe that you can do anything, you know, that
right. That you wouldn't even like that.
You wouldn't acknowledge that he was this, you know, so and both things are true. It wasn't this, you know, I was 13. Well, I didn't know better. He was 61 years old when he said the things that he said. And so I don't know. All right. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington when we return. There's some unresolved NBA issues as we head in, not really with the Grizzlies. It feels like everything's been pretty much resolved with the Grizzlies, but there's some NBA and unresolved NBA issues that we'll get into. And he has his weekly review of what's happening in the film in Memphis. And so we'll talk to Chris about that as well. We'll do that when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! is unbelievable.
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.